I'm Madonna Guy, and this is David Shiloh. I'm a
Hello,
natural
everyone.
kinesiologist, and David's a holistic counselor. Welcome, welcome. We're going to talk about the brain today. So we both have different perspectives on it, and we'll see where it goes. But I've had a couple of things go on with my clients lately that have been overwhelming my brain. So I just wanted to get it out there and talk about things. So for a start, you can imagine from the holistic counseling compared to the naturopathic, we both come from totally different perspectives with the brain. What you're
Well,
looking at it,
there is only one brain.
there is only one
Well,
brain. Well,
everyone's got more or less the same thing.
yes, well, anyway, we won't go into the naughtiness of that
Yeah.
particular comment, but anyway, the big brain, little brain. But anyway, so there's sort of like with the brain, I had a client in re oh, so where we come from is totally different with our perspectives about the brain. So you can imagine with holistic counseling, what you're looking at is more the symptoms. You're looking at the things that people are doing and working out the physiology behind that and how that's affecting someone in their life and trying to make their life better through the
Right.
understanding of how their brain works and allowing the family to understand how the brain works so that there's less irritation, less frustration, more acceptance, and more delight in the way that different brains work.
I suppose a lot of the stuff we deal with brains is more relational,
Yes.
right? Rather than working on the organ itself.
Yes.
I guess that would be part of it. And because the idea in like if you talk about brain function, you end up really talking about behavior. And so the goal of family therapy is to integrate relationships so that they're interdependent.
Yes.
And that, I think Murray Bowen, the
And
sort of father.
talk about interdependent. People might not know what that means.
Yeah, so Murray Bowen, who's like the father of generational therapy, really, in one sense, and the way that different. They consider there's no individual.
Yes.
The individual is the family system you grow up in.
Right.
And so within that, you want these things called differentiated relationships where they're interdependent. So they're not too close and not too far away. So a thing that would be considered a problem or what would you call it? Some sort of disorder is where the relationships are too close, and they're called fused. So people are in each other's pockets, they're controlling others, this, that, or they're too distant. So people cut off because you can't get to the part of the relationship where you can tolerate each other enough to resolve the situation.
Yes.
And so getting that, and people who often grow up in more balanced families, they'll grow up with independence, interdependence, and which is integrated because on one side you've got chaos. Too much chaos from too close and too much distance. And in between, integration means just the right amount. Your borders, or what do you call them? Boundaries are in the right place. And so that you end up with very creative forms. So when we develop that, we can then develop those styles of relating in relationships outside the family because that's what we're used to.
Beautiful.
Does that make sense, I guess?
From a naturopathic perspective, we more look at the pathophysiology. So we more look at the pathology within the brain that's affecting the way that people function in society. So we're looking at what can we do to make the brain function better, from a nutritional herbal nutrient perspective and detoxification, of course, and we'll chat about that.
The supportive function.
Yeah, that's right. So I want to show a little picture of the brain, which was just a really nice one. Can you see that there, David? Yeah. So basically, like the frontal cortex, this is sort of the area where we think. This is where we problem solve. So when you have a bad phone call or something bad happens, you automatically put your hand to your forehead, and it's sort of like a calming, nurturing thing. But what it also does is bring the blood to the front of the brain. It allows problem solving. So in kinesiology,
Self-soothing, they call it when
self-soothing,
you,
absolutely, but it's very, very functional and it works brilliantly. So it brings the blood to the front of the brain and it actually allows our logical and our creative hemispheres to work better so that we can find a solution under stress, which is.
And also, if you slow your breathing down, you can allow the nerve energy to go all the way to the top and round to the front, because when we're stressed, the nerve energy gets caught in the middle and gets used up there,
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think.
And this little loop in here, this is called the corpus callosum. And the corpus callosum is about a centimeter wide, and it connects the left and right sides of the brain. So that corpus callosum, when our brain goes into trauma down here in the base of the brain, if we go into trauma and we're in survival, again, our breathing speeds up, our survival patterns kick in, our conscious brain shuts down so that we don't have logical and creative thinking. So
No time
it's
for
Yeah,
that.
well, that's right. It's sort of like because if you're about to get eaten by a tiger, the last thing your logical brain wants to do is write down a list of the pros and cons of fighting him versus running up the tree. So you've got to shut all that thinking down so that your brain can just act and react. Anyway, I just thought that was a beautiful visual of the brain
So the
for us.
corpus callosum is it
It's like
divides the left and right hand side. It splits up the middle, doesn't it?
Yes. And it's a fast action. So the faster the more neurons we've got connecting the left and right sides of the brain through the corpus callosum, the faster our brain functions. So
So it's a
people
it integrates the left and the right.
absolutely, absolutely. So you know how some people, one of my gurus, Dr. Charles Krebs, he actually had full function of both logic and creative thinking in both hemispheres of his brain. So he just had this beautiful eidetic memory where he could, just remember tiny little snippets from 20, 30 years ago. And it just, almost annoying to the four wives he had because he always remembered and knew everything, except how to keep a relationship together, apparently, four marriages, ha ha ha. But yeah, so very, but an amazing brain, which is why he could, pour through research articles, look at different things they were doing in relation to the brain. Because when George Bush Senior was in, I can't remember, but at the time, and how long ago is that? 25, 30 years ago in America.
1990s when the war started.
Yeah, so it was sort of like around that time he put $1 billion, which at the time was the most money ever, into the brain. And that's when Charles Krebs, because he was interested in how the brain functioned after his deep sea diving accident, all this beautiful research was coming out around the world. There was also nefarious stuff going on, but there was a lot of really good research that was happening in relation to the brain and how it functioned.
Well, how big is the increase just with neurobiology? Like being able to really not only visualize the brain, but visualize how or visualize but understand how the different neuroreceptors work. Like the research on that is how the brain produces dopamine or serotonin or all the hormones and also the neuroreceptors. And
Yes.
also that they've found them all the way around the body, which was unknown before too.
Exactly.
So
And
the brain's in our whole body, really,
that
through the
whole
nervous
gut brain
system.
connection, so and also the heart brain connection. So the heart itself has between, and no, they don't know exactly, but the heart has between 20 and 50% neurons. It's neurons, which is why we feel things with our heart. There's a real brain connection with our heart. We start to be stressed, our heart starts to palpitate.
Well, there was a study they found that oxytocin, which is another hormone,
Feel
what is
good,
it?
loving, nurturing hormone.
Yeah, the bit you get from relational, and even if you touch yourself, you'll release oxytocin. And
For
but
people
that
our age,
produced.
the old Ralph mouth hug from
Right. Well,
Happy Days.
sometimes you can only do your best. But they found that that produces new heart stem cells for the heart.
Yeah, right. Nice. That's fabulous. Well,
Now
what
it's
a
just the way that when you see how the integration works, it's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about a lady going back about 10, 15 years ago, was at a conference I was at, and she was speaking about dementia and how in her 30-year career, people were getting younger and younger and younger and younger with dementia. And of course, the last 5 years with current interventions, unfortunately, has gone through I think it's up another 500% or something crazy like that. So there's a lot of things that affect the brain and a lot of things that cross the blood-brain barrier. In the same way, going back 30 years, we believe that a baby in the womb was totally protected from toxins in the rest of the body. We now know that's not true. Everything crosses the baby's membranes. And in the same way, that blood-brain barrier, which they used to think actually was able to protect our brain, it doesn't. It doesn't. So trauma and stress and all sorts of things weaken the blood-brain barrier and allow toxins into the brain. And then if our glymphatic system, glymphatic, how fabulous is that word? So the glymphatic system is a combination of the glial cells and the lymphatic system. And it's supposed to detoxify our brain every night when we're getting a good night's sleep. But people have such poor sleep habits, you know, with blue lights, lots of TV, lots of screen time, lots of things like that. If they're getting too much blue light, it actually destroys the ability to get into that deeper level of sleep, but it also upsets your glymphatic system, so your brain isn't detoxing each night.
And it stops the production of melatonin,
Yes, absolutely.
which assists that whole process.
Yes. And we've talked before about the fluoride and chlorine. Part of what they can do is coat the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is part of where we make melatonin in our brain as well. We also make a
But
lot of it in our gut.
it is amazing how resilient people are, because as well as all that environmental stuff, sometimes people have worse things happen to them as well, and it's amazing how people bounce back.
Yeah, some people, some
Some
people.
people.
I had a lady the other day and she was badly damaged back in 2021 with, you know, a medical intervention. And she spent 4 years. And each time she does anything that gets her to that next level of detox, she actually crashes. And the other day, she spent 40 minutes on my PEMF mat, you know, which has infrared. It's very, very safe. But she, by the time she got home, she had neuropathy. From head to toe, she only just made it, which was very interesting, and I did a huge apology. But you know, that has not happened with anyone at this stage. So now I go, okay, I need to make sure, like maybe I need to give them some ASEA before they leave, or you know, a muscle test what they need to do before they walk out the door, so that you know,
Right,
that
because
doesn't happen.
generally people find that map just beautiful and relaxing.
And she found it beautiful and relaxing. She wanted to spend, you know, she said, "Can I lie on my tummy?" She actually lay, she grabbed the pillow and she just curled up in a little fetal position, happy as Larry. And then she had to whip out the door, and I didn't find that out until a few hours later. But it is interesting when we do detoxify, if
But
your organs
that
have
person had some very severe other.
exceptionally severe damage from the
From one thing or another. So that affected all parts of the body.
Oh, absolutely. And because it's downregulated her immune system so much, she now has things like co-infections like Lyme disease and molds and fungus and stuff like that. So it's just been a long journey for the poor darling, you
Well,
know.
it is for some people, and you can see why people get very tired of it all.
Yes.
Like just because when you get very sick and you're constantly, taking medic, like just even if you've got a heart problem, you're going to take medicines or herbs for a long time,
Yes.
and so one re and that whole thing's
Oh,
pretty exhausting.
and the medical model is for the rest of your life. You know, let's face it. Yeah.
Well, but so it might be herbs too, because and so they all have their side effects and their interactions with other things in your body and with other things you do.
Yes.
They're
Yeah.
just an extra load.
Yeah. And the side effects with herbs and nutrients, at least usually they are more a Hertz reaction, you know, so when your body does release a huge amount of toxicity and then your body goes into inflammation. But the inflammation, even though it feels uncomfortable in the short term, if you don't get that done at some stage, then you're never going to get over what you're going through. And it really does need to be that three step forward, one step back, or two steps back, three steps, you know, it really is that sort of thing when we're going into healing for the human body, and especially the brain. You know, it's and as we've seen, there's lots of studies now that are coming out about the mental and brain challenges since these particular medical interventions in
Oh, the
2020.
last 5 years, well, there was the disease as well, and so everyone got affected by both, and it's even hard to tell the difference between one or the other.
Except that the infection itself didn't continually create spike proteins for the next 3 years, which
Oh,
the
did it long COVID, it did.
no, it does not. It does
Oh,
not.
didn't it?
No, because people
Oh, I don't know.
no, they've done autopsies and so they know that. And so they know that it is totally different when you have the infection compared to the
Treatments.
medical treatment. Yeah. So totally different. But the spike proteins can cross the blood-brain barrier, and then they can also bind around the pineal gland. So that's been one of the autopsy studies that's been released recently, where the pineal glands have been coated with the spike proteins, the same way the spike proteins can get in and around the heart and cause all sorts of heart challenges. The same thing can happen in the brain in different areas. And one of my clients yesterday, you know, all sorts of things that previously were thought to be Very rare neurological disorders are now, increasing quite dramatically, and really quite strange and scary, where we're going. But again, you can detoxify these things, because I always think, how do you get better? Whereas other people just sort of think, how do we make ourselves live in the here and now?
Well, luckily a lot of people exercise, and through exercise you sweat and you get things out that way.
Some people sweat.
But no, yeah, I know, but like we were talking earlier, like
Sorry about
exercise has
that.
been some, the tendency to exercise isn't in the young people as much as it was in previous generations, and there's
Yes.
different studies to show that. And exercise is a really good detoxifier, just because it makes you sweat it out. Like
Yeah.
that's one way, right? Like the best baseline, if you always exercise, you got more chance of having toxins released.
Yeah,
Right?
absolutely. And it's also very
Mm.
protective. They did a study, and again, this is maybe 5, 10 years ago now, probably 10 years ago, thinking the last 5 years. So it's probably about 10, and they looked at footballers. So
Mm.
apparently footballers, and I'm talking rugby league players here in Australia. So I'm talking the big burly beer drinking,
Oh, they don't drink as much beer as they used to. They're pretty straight guys these days.
Yeah, right. Well,
But they've got these
I'm
standards.
talking 10, 15 years ago when
Yeah,
they
no,
were
these
always in
days they've
trouble.
got such ethical standards from getting into trouble that
Yeah,
they're
right.
pretty straight-laced dudes
Well, I'm
now.
talking when they were naughtier. And what they found was that the amount of exercise these guys did actually protected their microbiome hugely. So they could eat crap but still maintain a really healthy combination of good bacteria, fungus, biome in the gut. So, and by having that, it protected their bodies from all sorts of things. So, whereas people who have the same diet without that amount of exercise absolutely had more disease states going on. So it was a really interesting study, because as I've chatted about my doctor, I'm going to call him my doctor friend, even though I've met him once for 2 minutes, Dr. Flavio Cattigiani. So some of his study in the endocrinology world have been about exercise and testosterone and how protective testosterone is. And this is one of the things for everyone out there. If you're not getting your testosterone checked with your bloods, it needs to start being a baseline. So if people have never checked their testosterone because there's nothing wrong with them, you don't know what your baseline is. So by the time something starts going wrong, testosterone is one of the major things that can be deficient in men who are tired and deficient in men who are losing their muscle mass. So if you know about it 20 years before it's a problem, then you can start doing something about it. And at that stage, because there's really beautiful herbs like tribulus.
Oh, you're not recommending testosterone
Well,
hormone
actually,
replacement?
I actually have no problem with it. But
Yeah,
here in
no.
Australia, men and women need to jump through 1,000 hoops to be able to get it,
All right.
because there's still the misconception that testosterone causes anger and anger causes, all sorts of challenges. But that's just not true. And
No,
Dr.
it's not true.
Flavio.
In psychology, the studies find that testosterone's a protective factor, and it also is a really pro-social factor. And
Yes.
women have testosterone too.
100%.
And it's a pro-social hormone mainly.
Now, in the same way that they used to believe that testosterone caused prostate issues, that has been found to be untrue as well. So it's generally the xenoestrogens, and xenoestrogens mess with our brain as we get older. So women can go into all sorts of depression and exhaustion and things
They'll
as
come from plastics and things.
plastics and pesticides and herbicides. And now, of course, they're experimenting with these RNA pesticides. I think we've just seen a list of about 20 different fruits and veggies they're going to start experimenting on here in Australia.
Funny, isn't it? Something I think glyphosate was originally an antibiotic.
Yes.
Right.
And because the jury's not out on these mRNA interventions. It's pretty
No.
much been proven to be very, very dangerous. And now they're going to spray the same thing on our fruits and veggies. It's really quite hideous. But anyway, and we don't know how that's going to affect us, because again, it's the next level of experimentation, which is going to be causing problems, I definitely foresee. Because it really, because obviously we do the bioresonance in our clinic. And to me, when I'm looking at the number of foods that show up the top of the Easy Scan, David, where it's got the foods that are a problem at the time. So when I see those, I see, like, if it's only two or three, I think the gut and the immune system's pretty good. But by the time you're getting to 15 or 20 foods that the body isn't coping with, then that's a sign that there's some dysfunction going on with the type of foods or the pesticides or herbicides or digestive enzymes or something else going on. And again, because there's such a huge gut-brain connection, we know, like, what is it that you have and it makes you fall asleep? Is
Oh,
it wheat
bread.
or bread or something? And it's not even high in tryptophan, whereas there are some foods that are high in tryptophan that help us fall asleep. But wheat does it because of the gliadin, the gliadin opioids. So
Oh.
basically, so one of the other proteins in there, it's not gluten, it's actually gliadin. Gliadin turns can turn into an opioid, which can just make you cruisy and sleepy and want to have a nap. But it can also make you angry, so depending on where we are on that opioid spectrum.
Right.
But dairy can do that as well. In dairy, it's the casein for some people, so it can become a casein opioid. So again, these kids who are addicted to white bread cheese sandwiches, that's a perfect combination to get them to sleep. But
I suppose meat might do something too. That's the main part of their diet, but is there any research on that?
on
No,
fermented.
I'm just saying. No, it's just the dairy and wheat always get a lot of attention put on them as being
Well, the way meat works is that if they feed the cattle genetically modified grains and dairy, so because sometimes they actually add things like high fructose corn syrup and they add lots of grains to the feed. So what they're trying to do deliberately is make obese cows so that
Yeah.
they're nice and fatty and delicious for those people who aren't vegan and
It's
vegetarian.
actually also to get them to the goal as quick as possible.
Yeah, but they're basically making diabetic cows. That's what's happening. And so, but the other thing is that they have high lectins. So if they're feeding the cattle grains and dairy that are non-organic, then the grains and dairy have the ability to destroy the villi in the intestines. So normal, what do you call it, feedlot cows that are getting the grains and they're getting the high fructose corn syrup and that sort of thing, that dairy and meat from those can also destroy the villi in the intestines. And the villi in the intestines has a direct correlation with the strength of the blood-brain barrier.
No, I'm just, well, what I'm saying with that was not specific. It's like if wheat puts you to sleep, you've probably got a gut issue. Like I'll accept that. Or if dairy causes a problem, you've probably got an issue. If you're normal, those things won't be an issue. And just like, and say, just
But
say you
it's
got a.
almost impossible to be normal on the planet.
I know that. And I'm just saying if you're not completely normal, there might be something with meat too, although it's not probably not studied as much. And there's a lot of protective legal things around studies on that too, which don't exist with the others. And I've researched that extensively. Like, for example, Oprah said something about something and next minute she was off the air for 10 years.
Well, let's not
She
go
said, I
there.
never want to eat a hamburger again.
Yeah, right. Whereas I remember she, because she was always such a twat when it came to food health. And I remember once she was interviewing three different people who had HIV. And these days I don't particularly even believe in the test that, anyway, whatever. But she was, there was one person there who had zero symptoms. They'd been tested for HIV. It was positive. They were eating clean, organic fruits and veggies. I think they had gone vegan or vegetarian. I can't remember. But basically, really enjoying the fresh delights of beautiful, a lot of raw and organic fruit and veggies. And she just basically called him an idiot on mainstream TV because, well, if you were going to die from HIV, why wouldn't you eat, hot chips and burgers and pizzas and anything you wanted to? And I remembered losing a huge amount of respect for her on that day. It was
Well, but generally diet isn't considered like if you say to you, like sometimes I say to my doctor, I'll change my diet, and she goes, oh, maybe that won't work. Do you know what I mean? And but I do it anyway, and it does work. But
And that's the proof in the pudding, isn't it?
well,
So
change, being able to change your diet, like it's really hard for people to change anything dietary.
yeah.
It's a pretty big when you're used to what you're used to. Your brain's used to it. Your brain's approved it, and now it's very hard to go, no, I'm going to do fasting from now on.
And fasting, of course, has a huge amount of benefits. Like one of
It's
the,
so much benefits,
yeah,
unless you
actually,
over fast, and then the brain tells you this isn't fun anymore.
And also, women are less likely to get benefit than men because women can more, because women are, because
They're
of
more
our
likely.
estrogen. No, they're less likely to get benefit because of our estrogen, because we've got so many xenoestrogens. Because out of the progesterone, testosterone, estrogen's the one that causes the most problems. And it's because of all the xenoestrogens in the diet in the world. There's not xenoprogesterones, there's not xenotestosterones, there's xenoestrogen. So we end up being estrogen dominant. And that estrogen dominant means that when we fast, we're dumping a huge amount of those toxins into the bloodstream. And again, if our body isn't sopping them up and moving it out, we can cause a lot of damage. So women are more likely to have challenges with keeping their blood sugar balance because of that, and keeping our hormones.
So they need some sort of supplements while they're fasting.
Yeah,
Is
some sort of.
that the sort of support that's needed?
Yeah, so at the very least, electrolytes, because electrolytes, like even if we're just doing our good old, oh, sorry, this is Celtic sea salt. So I have my Celtic sea salt on my tongue many times a day because you can't, if you've got any symptoms in your body, you're mineral deficient, or 97% or 96% of health issues are to do with mineral deficiencies. So if you've got your Celtic sea salt, have a little bit of water. You'll keep your minerals. You'll start actually absorbing some minerals from your diet, stimulate your own digestion, and start getting more out of the food that you're spending your money on. So it's anyway, which is all good.
So
Sorry.
for brain, something I don't do like you do, there's some herbs that are particularly good for the brain.
Yes.
What sort of because something I take like because I've got heart problems, I've had to take one drug, but I stopped taking it now.
Yes.
So I take a turmeric and saffron supplement,
Yes.
and I started taking it. My blood pressure went down, which was really nice.
Excellent.
And so that one seems to be good for the brain because
Yeah,
it's
so
like.
turmeric's anti-inflammatory, of course, and saffron is just a beautiful, nurturing herb that has lots of benefits for the nervous system.
Well, that particular one, turmeric and saffron, it's an incredible mood enhancer. I
Yes.
can be going from wake up dreary and then have that and snaps into action.
Yeah, which is really
Pretty
wonderful.
effective.
Yeah, so because and saffron, of course, is used in a lot of Indian cooking, so it's one of the things that some cultures do better with their brains than others, of course. But there's another one I love. I love things like Brahmi and ginkgo.
Brahmi and ginkgo. What are
Yeah,
the
so
differences between those two,
well,
Brahmi and ginkgo?
Brahmitone
Because they're
is
the
one.
main two.
Yeah, so ginkgo has a lot of really good benefits for people on the planet at the moment. It's one of the most expensive herbs, but pretty much anyone who can afford it in China, certainly going back 20 years ago, I've got no idea what the government's doing now, but going back like 20 years ago, it was well known that once people were over 50, pretty much everyone took ginkgo in China if they
They
could
took
afford it.
ginkgo and ginseng.
Well, yes, and Korean ginseng as well, which I'm sure they call something else over there. But anyway, so it's sort of like, but Panax ginseng is Korean ginseng, and it's the one that stimulates the pituitary gland. So it helps with the HPA in the brain. There's a whole bunch of ginsengs that are really good. Siberian ginseng is more for, actually, it helps to increase natural testosterone,
Right,
and
there
it
we
is
go.
really good for maintaining muscle strength and growth. So, Siberian ginseng, there was the old,
Also good for
Remedy.
the brain.
Yeah,
They're all
well,
good for the
sort of
brain.
because it's really good mid-strength muscle memory. So really good for weights. And of course, the more muscle mass we have, the better our brain is as well. So there's all of these connections between the health of our body and the health of our brain. Then there's withania, which is called ashwagandha. So
Ashwagandha,
yeah,
Indian
so
ginseng.
yep. So the old Korean ginseng, sort of the fastest acting. Siberian ginseng is sort of medium acting, and then withania or Indian ginseng or ashwagandha, it's sort of long term adaptogen, allows the body to deal with more stress the longer we take it. But there's also another one called American ginseng, and that one's it's a bit different. It's a non-stimulant. Our product Adaptan, which I don't sell much of, so it's a non-stimulating. Adaptogen. So I prefer things that give, I like to feel supplements in my body. But
Like
because
to
I run
feel it
a,
too.
yeah, so Adaptan, I hardly ever, I don't sell it for people unless they say to me they can't do coffee, they can't do B vitamins, that their nervous system is so heightened that you go, oh, okay, they're not going to cope with this, this, and this. So then they're the sort of people I'll put on adaptogen, Adaptan, sorry.
Right.
But American ginseng is a non-stimulating ginseng, so it's
Right,
more
because
about
with the
nourishing.
other ones, you can feel the effect. Like with the Inflamed, which is the turmeric and saffron, strong effect. With
Yes.
something like what's that adrenotone?
Adrenotone, yeah.
That's got different
So
ginsengs in it.
adrenotone's got Korean ginseng, Siberian ginseng, and Indian ginseng.
Right, and
It's
that
a
one's another
rhodiola
one that
herbs.
snaps you. You feel the effect, and you go, right, I felt that. I like
Yes.
that.
And it also has tyrosine in there, so it's really nice for the thyroid. But we need to, so I often sell, say, adrenotone with iodine together so that they're getting the time because the adrenotone doesn't have iodine.
Right.
Australian government has got a real thing against iodine, which is crazy because 70% of the babies are being born with dysfunctional thyroids, which is why we've got so many challenges with learning and weight and thyroids and all sorts of things here in Australia. So there's a huge fear campaign, which is unfortunate because iodine
Well,
is.
that's why they originally put iodine in salt to make sure people the iodine levels are up. And
Yeah.
maybe people aren't using that as much as they used to.
Well, it's
I
not good
don't know.
for them. It's synthetic. So it's not a real, you know. So again, you know, by giving the body synthetic ones, because, you know, a lot of the time these days with our ultra processed food, they totally take all of the nutrition out of all the foods. And then the government says, you've got to put back in nutrients. So then they put all these synthetic nutrients back in, which are
Right.
actually really bad for the body. So if you get something that says it's been, you know, it's high in B vitamins, and you have a look at the ingredients, and the B vitamins are all synthetic.
Right.
So that can block up your pathways of detoxification. And we've chatted about B6 before as well. There's a real fear in Australia at the moment because of high B6 levels in the bloodstream. So you've heard me talk about this? Have we chatted?
Yeah, that's right. But it
Yeah,
was
so.
coming, but it's coming from possibly from a side effect of a medication.
Yeah, so a lot of medications. I would love everyone, if your B6 levels are going up in the blood, or for those practitioners out there, B6 levels are high and people are really scared about that because there's a big fear campaign about it at the moment. Like I've had a few people who have been taken off a whole bunch of supplements because they're just scared of it at the moment, because with the idea that it will cause nervous system issues. So obviously, if there's nervous system issues, like I would as well, I would go through the B vitamins. I've had a few people in my clinic. I always get them to bring in their bag of supplements, and I'll have a look, and I'll say, and my first question is usually, how much was this? And if it's like $10, I say, can I chuck these in the bin? They are doing you no good whatsoever, and with your issues, it's the last thing you need, you know. So because a lot of cheap ones are also, you know, synthetic, you can
Same
imagine.
with that, same with everything. If it's cheaper, it mightn't be as good.
Yeah, some of them are fine. Some of them are fine. But again, here in Australia, there's no oversight on supplements. So you can be buying something from the supermarket because there's no oversight. If it's not a practitioner product, there's no guarantee that what you're buying is what you're buying. So, and that's just life on the planet, you know, people wanting to make a buck and not really caring about the consequences.
But I suppose the foods that have iodine in it are seafood, seaweed, dairy products, and eggs. They're the main ones.
Products. I wonder why that would be.
And some fortified foods too.
Maybe. Oh, because there's even a thing at the moment. So apparently, a lot of researchers, because they're trying to stop the cows farting, you know, one of the things that is being done to lower their methane output, anyway, we won't go into the science there, but is actually feeding the cows seaweed.
Right.
So maybe that is actually happening in some healthier farms trying to stick to the government rules.
Could be.
That's it. I've never heard that dairy was high in iodine, and that's sort of maybe the cows actually automatically chew some of the. Like I remember when I was in Switzerland a few years ago, and the yards where the cows were kept, because there were just small herds everywhere, you know, between like 2 and 10 cattle. You're just walking in the back streets and people have cows in their backyards. Really interesting. And the cows and the yards had heaps and heaps of herbs. And I was just, you know, we'd be walking around, I'd go, that's dandelion. That's our clover. Look at that, you know, and you could just see all these things. And then you just think about why it's so healthy eating the dairy and drinking the milk in Switzerland, and why the ice cream from Switzerland is so damn yummy. So the cows are, because obviously they're not poisoning the grass to get rid of those. To get rid of those weeds like we do here in Australia.
Well, yeah. Well, they've also tested things like I was looking at some studies on maybe something like, I don't know, something that had high phosphorus in it.
Right.
And when it was farmed organically, it didn't have very much phosphorus in it. And because there was actually a benefit from the non-organic phosphorus being in the land or the way it was grown.
Right.
There's just different ways of looking at things. We're talking about iodine in food.
Yeah. Let me just Google that. Why is iodine in dairy food?
Already Googled it.
And
Or
why?
why? I don't know why. But it's good to look that stuff up.
Yeah. Cows naturally produce iodine-rich milk.
Oh.
They're often fed supplements or feed containing iodine. Oh. Iodine-based disinfectants are commonly used to clean milking equipment and teats, and trace amounts can leach into the milk. The iodine content in the soil and water where cows graze can influence how much iodine ends up in their milk. In countries like Australia, dairy is one of the most reliable sources of iodine, especially since iodine levels in other foods like vegetables can vary depending on soil quality.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
And that also goes back to what I was saying about how soil quality can affect the composition of what's grown
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And
there.
I was chatting, and even the thing we were chatting about last week, how, the whole circadian rhythm, of say breast milk, so if you are pumping your breast milk in the morning, that's the time of day when the baby should be fed that milk. If you're going to feed the baby at lunchtime, it needs to be a lunchtime, pumped milk. But in the same thing, that's part of the reason why the foods, it's always best to buy local foods when you can, because they're also grown for our part of the world,
That's best
with what we
practice.
need. Yeah, best
Best
practice.
practice. Because hardly anyone can do best practice
Yeah, no, but that's why
with
there's farmers
everything.
markets and things like that,
Yeah.
so, and they seem to be popping up around the world, which is great, and occasionally splurging on those paddock to plate sort of meals as well. So then often within 4 6 hours you're eating things that were growing, beautifully that morning. That can be an amazing experience as well. There's a little place out here that we have not managed to get into, apparently. It is always just overbooked. It's just like 15 minutes away. Anyway, one weekend we'll have to be organized. I do love a paddock to plate sort of meal. Really nice thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, nice for
Fresh is
farmers,
best.
the brain, fresh is best,
Fresh
definitely.
is best.
Yeah, so with the nutrients in the brain, the other thing is, of course, essential fatty acids. So they did a study for the egg eaters. So they have done a study where they've looked at the brains of the elderly people who eat regular eggs regularly compared to those who don't. And there was way more brain tissue in those people who eat eggs because there's choline in eggs, and choline is one of the things we, and from a perspective, there are things like phosphatidylserine and phosphatidylcholine. They help to recoat the nerves. So when the nerves are exhausted because of cortisol or heavy metals or different medications or
Would
toxins.
that be, but would that be eggs or would it be the regular, because they've got sulfur in them?
Well, sulfur helps with the detoxification pathways, but choline and serine are the things that coat the nerves.
They
So
must
there's.
be in other things too, because I haven't eaten an egg for 40 years and I'm okay.
Well, are you? How's your
Well,
brain? How's your brain, David?
my memory is pretty A grade generally.
Yeah, so no, just joking. So,
Yeah, no, I
it's one of those things that we need to look up as we
know.
get older because phosserine and phoscholine. I remember the first time I ever actually took phosphatidylserine. It was about, well, it was when I was on my first LEAP course, so my first brain integration course, which is high level neurology that you're learning. And Linda had found, my mate Linda from New Zealand, she'd found this brand, I think it was Eagle at the time, and it was a jar, a tub of phosphatidylserine that was a powder that we would just put on dates or put on banana. And man, we just had these high wired brains, that just took in all this information during the course. So we had a ball. And it was really interesting because at the time, it's one of the most expensive supplements because it's hard to get one that crosses the blood-brain barrier and can attach to the nerves. So there's lots of things that can do that, but it's those essential fatty acids we really need. And yeah, there will be other foods that are high in
Oh,
phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylcholine.
for example, choline, like eggs, is the first, and the yolk, but then legumes, beans, And then all of the sulfurophanes are included in it. So it does, there is.
Sulfurophane, the sulfur veggies, you mean?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like Brussels sprouts, broccoli,
Yeah.
kale, collards,
And when
all
you
that.
have a look at the
But
amounts,
they're
those will
good.
be
They're good,
way
and
lower.
mushrooms.
They will be way lower than the eggs, you know? So,
Well.
yeah. Well, you know, it's like things that have oxalates. You know, your spinach and almonds are the worst, they're the highest, and they eat away the blood-brain barrier for some people, and some people end up with a swollen liver within 40 minutes of eating them. So it's one of those things. Pay attention to your own symptoms and try to work out, you know, what's going on. Because sometimes what is a healthy food for one person isn't a healthy food for another person. And it all comes down to our own individual makeup, our own combination of our own microbiome, how our body has determined it's going to function and practice. But yeah, so thank you for those lists. That's great.
Well, I'm just like, because I'm vegetarian.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That's
No,
great.
that's not what I'm saying. Because I'm vegetarian, what I find is that most studies won't have any vegetarians in them anyway. They'll just be
Yes.
general population, and general population, at least in Australia, nearly everybody eats meat, like, 95% or so. And
Yes.
so there's very few vegetarians there's very few diets that are for vegetarians. And so the recommendations that come out, you have to kind of sift through and go, oh, you need that. Well, it comes in salmon and meat and eggs, and I go, well, I don't eat them, so where else is it?
Yeah.
And then you end up having a very broad diet, eating a lot of different things, which is fun anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And for vegetarians, I would always say, you know, add the olive oil, add the ghee, add the, you know, those beautiful nourishing, nurturing good fats
And eat
with
nuts and
every,
seeds,
yeah.
which is where they come from, the oils.
Well, you shouldn't be eating those oils,
What?
you know? So, you know,
Nuts
the,
and seeds.
yeah, well, seed oils are really bad for people.
No, things like sunflower seeds.
Yeah, sunflower oil is really bad for people.
I didn't say oil, I said eating
No,
the
you
whole
said the
seed.
oils from the seeds. So it's
Oh, but.
different eating the nuts and seeds than it is eating the seed oils. It's two totally different things.
Well, you didn't understand what I said. I was talking about eating the oils when you eat the nuts and the seeds,
Yes.
and that they're the best omega oils. And they're as good as anything, because they all have different minerals in them too. Like sesame seeds have ABC, sunflower seeds have different, and then the nuts have different things too. Like some nuts, like peanuts, are acidic, whereas most of the others are alkaline.
Yeah, well, peanuts are a legume, of course, and really high in
Right.
all sorts of. Well, and there are some studies. Like I remember going back 10, 15 years ago,
Still
again, they would.
my favorite nut, peanut.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so there was a study done where they looked at resveratrol, red wine, peanuts with the red, you know, the red, you know how peanuts are born
Yeah,
with a
they've
little
got
red coating on it, and dark
it.
chocolate. And they were sort of talking about that as a premenstrual snack. Just always make, you know, so, and that little combination of things balances so many things with women's hormones. So dark chocolate,
Dark
normal
chocolate has
peanuts with
amazing
the red
things.
coating on, with the coating on, because most people remove it. And also the fact that it's been coated means that it is usually, it hasn't been baked in some sort of awful oil that's bad for us. So we haven't made it carcinogenic, which is a really good thing. So, you know, bonuses all round. You're always better off buying your nuts and seeds raw and organic and then roasting them at home because then you know what oils you're putting them in.
Yeah, that's what we do. But you don't have any oils, you just dry roast them.
Yeah. And you can add your flavors to that when you want to as well. You know,
already
chucking
full
some.
they're already full of
Yeah.
oil.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing that you can do with, you know, and I stupidly said to one of my guys one day, you've got to soak your nuts overnight.
Well, you
Anyway, what I meant was
know.
put your handful of almonds into some water and then the next day chuck out the water and then eat your nuts. And they've been, you know, that they're swollen, but they're easier to absorb the nutrients in there. So it's basically activating your own nutrition in the nuts and seeds.
Well, in Australia, when I was a kid, there was that ad on TV that was Nibbles Nobby's Nuts.
Okay, we're
Of
going to
course,
get
the
off.
joke meant something different for everyone.
Got to protect the children from our podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry
On
about that,
TV.
people. Yeah.
It was the
Not even in the
70s.
same room, and we're setting each other off today. That's funny. Yeah, so what else? B vitamins. So let me tell you. So I started chatting about this little cheeky babe. Little cheeky babe. She was a brain specialist who'd been seeing that dementia was going down, down, down. And one of the things that she found when she started, because she was just a surgeon and she was trying to work out what drugs and things to give people. And eventually she started thinking, gee, maybe there's a nutritional component to this. So because she was just so sick of just seeing people go downhill once their brain starts disintegrating, because it's not a great life, for the rest of for the people or their family, and they can live a long time in a real dysfunction. So one of the things that she found across the board was a B12 deficiency. So again, B12 does a lot of things. So, and it can be low in vegetarian and vegan diets. So it's one of those supplements that can be, can be important. But
Well,
if
it's
we
because because the main source of the because with a lot of these things, they always include the same things, which are meat, fish, poultry, eggs, milk, and dairy products.
Yeah.
And so when people are trying to lose weight, they go off dairy. But dairy has most of the nutrients that people have trouble with getting enough of. And so, because I'm a dairy eater, I don't seem to have those issues
Yeah.
because things like B12 is in dairy.
Yep. So B12, we need, so what she started doing was giving, because you can imagine in the blood tests, all they're looking for is disease. So wherever you are in the world, as a general rule, if you get your B12 test and it says you're within range, it doesn't mean anything. All that means is you're not within the disease range. So B12, it's bound when we have anesthetics. So every time we go under the knife for anything, even dental work, the anesthetics binds to your B12 receptors in your gut, and it makes it almost impossible for your body to uptake B12 the next time you eat it. And that can stay dysfunctional for years. So there's two things. Firstly, you need to get the anesthetic out. Secondly, you need to reactivate the receptors in the gut that help you absorb B12. So one of the thing, and B12 isn't that expensive a nutrient, but you need about 4,000 micrograms a day of B12 for at least 3 weeks, usually way longer, in order to reactivate the receptors in your gut to help you to uptake B12, but also to pull out the anesthetic, because what a surprise. B12 has the added bonus. If you have enough in the bloodstream, it can bind anesthetic, old anesthetic, and take it out of the body.
Oh,
So what this
so B vitamins also detox. That's interesting
Yeah,
because
well, B
I take B vitamins every day,
Yeah,
pretty much.
so B12 particularly, it all, and other Bs might do this as well, but B12 has an effect on the telomeres, so our little DNA strands, we've got those little bits on the end that look like, the end of shoelaces. So B12 is one of the things that helps to lengthen the telomeres, but it also helps to stimulate the production of stem cells from your bone marrow. It also helps with releasing white blood cells. So it upticks your immune system. So when I'm looking at live blood, one of the things that I'm looking for when I'm looking at white blood cells, so you have a little neutrophil, and the amount of little nuclei in there tells me how old the neutrophils are. By the time there's five or more nuclei in neutrophils, that's a chronic B12 deficiency. We should do your blood one day. That actually never occurred to me till this moment. But
Look that up.
we should have a look, because the other thing that you can see under live blood, the size of the red blood cells determines iron deficiency and B12 deficiency. So in a perfect world, our red blood cells are all identical. Well, no, not identical. There's a whole other thing about synthetic red blood cells out there at the moment, which I'm not talking about. But in a perfect world, they're almost the same size. And the ones that are really
Identical twins don't always look the same.
So, yes, I had a cup of tea with them this morning. Anyway, so small red blood cells, they're iron deficient. Large red blood cells are B12 deficient. And also oval red blood cells, when they're not supposed to be oval, that's a B12 folate deficiency. So you sort of see this cool stuff when you do live blood that gives you an indication of a whole bunch of nutrition in your body. But the white blood cells and red blood cells give you an indication of B12. B12, iron, folate, and then there's other stuff in the blood that lets you know about your kidneys and liver and immune system and things as well. But yeah, it's very cool. Have we ever looked at your blood?
I don't, maybe years ago.
Yeah, well, it's probably time.
All
I think it's
right.
time. Yeah. That'll be a bit of fun.
That will be fun. Do you have the microscope?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's right next to where we do our podcast every week.
No, I know that. I just never.
Thought about what I do with
No,
it.
I see the slides out all the
Yeah, right. That's funny. Anyway, no, so yeah,
time.
absolutely. And that's, and it's just one drop of blood. And you pop it under, you know, so it's not like you need an intervenous thing going on or something.
I know, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. It's lots of fun. And actually, David Nixon is in America at the moment, and he did 35 people's bloods at a Tesla conference. He took along his microscope and,
Really?
or yeah, and so he's already looking at the differences between the blood in, say, America compared to Australia, because you know
Right.
he's seen thousands of people's blood here in Australia.
Yeah, he's blood testing, observing.
And just very curious as a doctor, you know, about the differences.
Well,
And
it's an interesting way of looking at blood because it's similar to when you get an ultrasound in your body and you can actually see things. It
yes.
has that actual observable part to it, which is really
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of
Anyway.
things, like you said, a lot of things don't get picked up in blood tests. But if you
Yes.
do an ultrasound, you see how the organs are functioning live.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing because you can pick up stuff that, like, that's why they do babies. You can't see it any other way.
Yeah. Well, and again, they know that if you do too many, that's damaging to the bubby. So, you know, we don't want to do too many of them. And a lot of the time it's people who have the best health funds who have the most scans, just because they can. But just because you can doesn't mean you should, you know,
Oh, I didn't. I didn't. I thought people
as
only
was
usually
stated
had
in
one.
Jurassic Park by our tall, lanky, googly-eyed dude.
Right.
I'm sure his name will come to me in a sec, but anyway. Yeah, soybeans are really high in choline as well. So, you know,
Right.
when we, but you've got to soak them. You know, there's a real proper way of cooking soybeans that aren't dangerous for
If
us.
you have deficiencies, it's good to look up. I mean, the good thing about the internet is that it's such a good source for, getting your diet. You
Yeah.
know, if you've got deficiency, I mean, because some, you'll get your blood test back and you go ABC if you can interpret it.
Yeah.
And but they'll tell you what's not enough or too much. And then you
Yeah.
can, diet can do amazing things.
Yeah. As can sunshine, fresh air, nature, you know, exercise. You know,
Yeah.
there's a huge amount of benefits with all sorts of things. Yeah. And I'm a huge believer in anything that upticks our omega-3s as well. So again, those nuts, seeds, and then of course all the fish and everything, because again, that's really
It's
important
always when
as
you
an
look at
anti-inflammatory for the brain.
a lot of the stuff we talk about, general deficiencies, they're all in that category. They'll be like dairy, eggs, meat, and seaweed comes up a lot too.
Remember I had a vegan probably 10 years ago, and she came in and she was exhausted, and I had a look at her bloods, and her bloods had been perfect, 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 perfect. And then when she started seeing me, they were down here and she was exhausted. And so I thought, okay, something weird's happened. I said, have you had an operation? Have you had a trauma? Have you had a car accident? But that's when she stopped eating meat.
Oh,
Yeah, so it was
well, you've
going
got to
to take a
do
while
it,
to, you know, balance itself out. And some people are really like, you know, I was veggie for 20 years. It's easy to be a bad vegetarian. It's easy.
Right.
You can eat cheese pizzas. You know, you can, you
Yeah,
know, there's a
yeah,
lot of, you
yeah.
can
So
be a bad vegetarian, you can be a bad vegan. And
what?
again,
Yeah, how it.
on Oprah once, they did a vegan challenge where they got everyone to eat vegan for a month at her place of work. And I remembered seeing the foods, and there was nothing natural there. So they
Right.
just had this pantry available for all of her workers, and they were all processed rubbish. You know,
Well,
there was not a nutrient among it. It was.
I'm not a vegan, and because of that, a lot of those problems are solved by dairy.
Yeah,
And so just like
but
and
also
because
you look things up, so you're quite proactive with your
but
health.
there's but not only that, there's in the situation where your whole family's vegan, like I come from a community where, oh, vegetarian. I
Yeah.
come from a community where everybody's family's vegetarian, from the spiritual, and that's international. And
Yes.
see, people who, when your whole family and your kids are vegetarian, you take it a lot more
Yeah.
seriously because it's a, you know what you're eating is affecting the kids as well, and you don't want to have unhealthy kids,
Yes.
so you're a lot more careful about it. And so we've been vegetarian for our whole, and our whole family's vegetarian, because it's the whole thing. If it's just one of the adults or two of the adults, it's different, because
Yes.
the kids are eating different food from you.
Yeah.
But once it's in the whole family, it's like, oh, we've all got to be healthy, or because being unhealthy costs money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's stressful.
It does actually, and it puts stress on the entire family. And again, one of my clients in recently, she's got a son who's highly autistic and gorgeous boy, but very, very challenging. And the entire family works to keep him balanced all day, every day. Like it's, it's it does. It's wearing on the entire family. Yeah. Obviously, that's an extreme case, but yeah.
Well, when you've got kids with problems, even something like ADHD, it's a lot more effort. It's a
Yeah.
lot more effort because you know that the diet affects them more. You
Yeah.
know they need better foods than other people to keep them self-regulated.
I thought it was fun. Teddy arrived this morning, and I ran his bioresonance, and I laughed, and I said, "Teddy, look at," because his chakras were a mess when he arrived, and then the bioresonance balanced them all. And I said, "Look at your chakras this morning," and he laughed, and he said, "We went out to McDonald's for brekkie for mummy's birthday." So even at 7, he immediately correlated the naughty breakfast he'd have with his chakras being out, which was, I thought, pretty amusing. Very cute.
Funny they didn't rebalance, because it would have been a fun breakfast, going out, having
Yeah.
fun.
Well, but it's
Fun for kids.
fun for kids.
Fun for kids.
Not what his meridians and chakras said, but
No,
anyway.
they don't care what the adults think. Hey, this is fun. Let's go out for breakfast.
So the anesthetics is really important for the brain. Essential fatty acids really important for the brain. If you get your bloods test, like David's saying, go and look up the foods that are really good in those things. Always be aware of your pesticides. Always keep your fluid up, but also your minerals. You got to keep your minerals up. Minerals are so important for everything. Here goes my Celtic sea salt again. The last thing you want is to be drinking gallons of water, but not getting the minerals in. Then you're just flushing the minerals out of your body. You're actually making yourself worse a lot of the time. And the other thing I wanted to mention was alkalized water. So do you remember when alkalized water machines became all trendy about 10, 15 years ago or something? Well, it was,
Alkalized water, not just purified water.
No, alkalized water. There's whole machines, and they can cost anywhere from 2 to 10 grand. And so with the concept of you're feeding your body alkalized water, so therefore, the body's going to work perfectly. But guess what happens when you drink alkalized water? Hello, what's your name?
Luna.
Hi, Luna. Aren't you beautiful? Pussycat for there, for those who are listening to us.
Crazy cat video.
Crazy cat video. What was I talking about? Oh, water, alkalized water. So what would happen would be that people would either get a juicer for Christmas and all of a sudden drinking all these alkalized juices, or they get an alkalizing water system. They're drinking all this alkalized water. And every year for years, by about February or March, I was seeing all these people with gut issues. And then once you'd get into the Christmas presents, they usually either received a juicer or a alkalizer. Because if you have those things at the wrong time, you're shutting down your hydrochloric acid in your gut.
Oh, if you have it before or after eating.
So if you have alkalized water
Oh,
first
so
thing in
they're
the
cooking
morning,
with it too.
so people think they're doing the right thing. But you can actually be destroying your ability to make hydrochloric acid. If you're not making hydrochloric acid in the stomach, then you're not getting the protein and fats out of your diet properly. And also, they all of a sudden start having these big things of juices. A lot of them are actually feeding things like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth,
Well,
which is weird.
even just from not enough acid with alkalized water, you'll end up like bloating and having things fermenting in the gut because they're not digesting
Yeah,
properly.
you're making your own beer and wine. go you. Anti-government sentiment. Get away with it, I reckon. Just joking. So yeah, it's really interesting. So that's, again, it's one of those things that it happened like 3, 4, 5 years in a row where I'd start to expect it around February, March, and then I'd say to my receptionist, "Well, it's all started again. The juices and the alkalizers starting to come in with gut issues." Yeah. And then talk to them about the fact. And I remember years and years ago, one of my ladies, she had breast cancer, and she was choosing not to do anything medically. And people are, entitled to do whatever they want. And her one of the things that she was doing was a huge amount of bicarb soda, for a huge amount, like a quarter of a cup in water when she woke up, and a huge, same amount when she went to bed. So
So
she was waking
two alkaline.
too alkaline. So because she wasn't really digesting any of the any she wasn't digesting things properly, and she was making a lot of the food. She had a Thermomix. I didn't even know what it was in those days, but it was long enough ago that it was around the start of the Thermomix craze in Australia. Hey, I love them. But anyway, she so she had a microcurrent session, and we basically did a bunch of detox on the tissue. And the next day she woke, because she was waking with a pH of about 9, which is really, really alkaline. Because you should actually be more acidic in the morning, because you're supposed to be detoxing overnight. So if you're waking up and you have not actually gone into a detox overnight, then what's happening? You're actually building it up in your body. So we did a detox with microcurrent, and she woke up the next day and her pH was 4.5, which is really
Which is
acidic.
low.
Yes, probably potentially lower than it should be, but 7.2 is about where it should be. But it should be a bit more acidic in the morning, and we should be able to maintain through the day. Her hubby, marched on in. What have you done to my wife? Blah blah blah. She marched on in. What did you do to me? And I said, we detoxed. This is what we want, And it took him about 2 weeks to get her urine back up to where they wanted it. But to me, that was a sign that, well, whatever you're doing, it's not pulling the toxins out, because we were able to detox a huge amount with the microcurrent. So, like my poor lady who was on the PEMF mat, and had that neuropathy by the time she got home. Now, she's not blaming me, but neuropathy is a real big sign of B12 deficiency as well. So with any neuropathy, I would always prescribe something like B12 or lipoic acid or something like that, because
That's interesting.
nerves just aren't regenerating. Or the nerves are so, because you can imagine neuropathy, it's sort of like numbness and, tingling, and sometimes people get pain in the nerves, so their nerves just aren't coping. But you've got to get the nutrient, you've got to get the toxins off the
Blood flow
nerves.
too.
And then, yeah, absolutely. In fact, the first thing that muscle tested up for her was plasma flow, the serum plasma flow. So, and it tested up 4 a day, and I never prescribe 4 as a general rule. Two is great for anyone, but it eats away the fibrinogen in the capillaries, so that the capillaries can start pumping properly and get nutrients around the body.
B12 does.
Sorry?
B12 does.
No,
Which one?
plasma flow. B12 will help, but plasma flow is really specific for eating fibrinogen. So fibrinogen can build up anywhere in your body. It's like this sticky, sticky substance that looks like little spears between your blood. We'll have to do a little show and show people the blood. Maybe after we do yours, if you're happy to share that.
Well, if I've got lots of that, it'll be good.
You've
Hopefully, I don't.
You've got lots of blood. But
Yeah, lots of
the
fibrinogen.
fibrin is a real sign. So it can be a sign that the body's in survival, because fibrin is, it's released by the liver, and it's a clotting agent. So if your body thinks you're about to get eaten by a tiger, your liver can release the fibrin so you clot, so you don't die when the tiger pounces. So
Got
then,
no tigers in Australia. It'll be a dingo.
yeah. That dingo got my baby. Yeah, so it's yeah, we're being naughty today. Anyway, so any other thoughts on the brain, David?
I think that I suppose that I'm interested in things that are external, like exercise, good for
Yeah,
brain. Do you know what I mean?
absolutely.
And more the activities that are good for it. But it's not my area of specialty.
Yeah.
But I like taking herbs for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things that I think the more educated people get, I think the better, because there's so many things that are diagnosed and there's no solutions, and it's a downhill until you die sort of diagnosis.
Which will happen eventually.
But there's a lot you can do to prevent things and to repair things before it, because there's usually like a 20-year thing. In fact, I'll chat again just
So
briefly.
because there's risk factors and there's protective factors,
Yes.
and the protective factors getting in in advance is good.
There's a guy called Dr. Dale Bredesen, and he's got a project called the Alzheimer's Project or Dementia Project or something like that. And I've seen him speak. He's amazing. But he was asked by reporters once, "Well, what's your process for reversing Alzheimer's?" Because that's, one of the things he does in his clinic. And he said, "Well, it's a 36-step approach." And they want to know exactly what the 36-step approach was. And he said, "No. It's different for every human. If you don't drink enough water, you increase water. If you don't get enough sunshine, you have more sunshine. If you're zinc deficient, you take zinc. If you're B deficient, you take Bs. If you're overloaded with heavy metals, you detox the heavy metals. If you've got too many xenoestrogens, then you get rid of the xenoestrogens. If you're putting too much crap on your body, you stop putting crap on your body." So he basically, what a surprise, he sort of goes through a huge process of tests and all sorts of things and questionnaires and things, and works out what the priority is, but then works with the person, because don't forget they've got Alzheimer's. So they've got to create new habits to get things into their life. So if they never do sunshine, go, right, your job for the, if you're willing to do it, because you've got to pick two or three things that that person is willing to do.
Yeah, because
There's no point me
changes.
telling someone to do sunshine if they hate sunshine. Some people are revolted by the idea of the sunshine. Like my guy, my South African, and he came in the very first time and he said, "I don't do exercise and I don't do water." I went, "Okay, let's move on then," because there's no point trying to get him to do water and exercise because he's not going to do them. Anyway, I think we better call it there. That's great.
Right.
And sorry about the couple of little glitches in there. I'll try to clean them up.
Well, that'll be part one. I'm sure we'll have part two about the brain.
Yeah, it's pretty good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think tip for the day, if you've got brain issues, and I'm sorry it's here at the end, maybe I'll snipple this and put it at the beginning. But is 4,000 micrograms or 4 grams of activated B12 a day for 3 to 6 weeks and see if your memory improves. And if your memory improves, it can be a really chronic B12 deficiency. So you don't stop it at 3 or 6 weeks then, but you keep it up and then you start to slow it down and see how your memory goes. Now, if it doesn't fix it in 3 to 6 weeks, it doesn't mean it's not a B12 deficiency. But if you're taking a good amount, like for, our product Metagen B12 folate, the methyl active, so that's got 1,000 micrograms of B12, activated B12 in it. So it's 4 a day of those. So there's also here in Australia a 5,000 microgram B12 from Bioceuticals. It's a chewable one. Personally, I prefer the Metagen one because it's got B6 and B9 as well. If we're B12 deficiently chronically, then we can also have the MTHFR gene is really common, and also we can have high homocysteine levels, which can be a precursor to heart attacks and strokes. So therefore, the B6, B9, B12 covers a bunch of them, and it's not that much more expensive. In fact,
No, I like taking supplements for the brain, and I've got a few things,
there you go.
and I like to cycle through them too.
Yeah,
Like
beautiful.
have a bit of this for a while and a bit of that for a while,
That's
because I
because you
always
don't
say,
see a naturopath.
"Oh yeah, right." But I take a multi-B every day, like
Yeah, beautiful.
whatever's in with magnesium, and it's got every type of B in it, I think.
No, awesome.
They're all different names. B1 is this and B2 is that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, everyone, have a great day. See you later,
Okay,
David.
and
Thank you
enjoy
very
your
much.
brains.
Excellent. Brains are good. Brains are wise.
Yay.
Catch you later, guys. Bye.
Right.